first video said, of course, fatherhood is the highest of callings. It's a sad fact that many in our day and generation don't fully grasp or fully understand that fact, and our cultures and our nations often suffer because of that fact. Fatherhood is the highest of callings. So on this Father's Day 2019, permit me just to share a few thoughts of encouragement for fathers and for grandfathers and for great-grandfathers. However, ladies, please don't switch off. Please don't switch off. Although I'm talking to the men primarily, it is vital. We need your encouragement and your support, ladies, because we can't do this without you. Right, guys? Right. Needs to be a little better than that.
We didn't train them.
It didn't. We need their help, right, guys?
Yes.
Great. Good. Well, there are three aspects of this role I'd just like to briefly focus on this morning. They all begin with C, the three C's of fatherhood. Firstly, we need to remind ourselves that fatherhood is a calling. It is a calling. Dads, you've been called to undertake the most important job you will ever have. Psalm 127 reminds us, children are a gift from the Lord. That's true. Whatever the circumstances of conception, children are a gift from God. So dads, granddads, great-granddads, we have an incredible responsibility because we carry the name Daddy, Granddaddy. That is the name of our Heavenly Father as well. So we have an awesome and a great responsibility as we consider that role that we have been called to. Austin Sorensen said this: a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. Wow, that's a kind of gulp truth, is it not? But it is so very true. Carrying the name Daddy is a reminder to all whom we are called to look after and to care for that we have a responsibility to step up and to represent our Heavenly Father as our children are young especially. But two, when they're older as well, it counts for both. Our Heavenly Father, we've sung about it this morning. This is what James Dobson says. He says, can't you see the Creator of the universe, who understands every secret and every mystery, but he sits patiently and listens to a four-year-old talk to him. That is a beautiful image of a father. But indeed, that is how our Heavenly Father is. He will still listen to the heartfelt prayers of a four-year-old. So there are two practical insights that I want to offer under this heading of the fact that fatherhood is a calling. These might perhaps inspire us to help us as a granddad, as a dad, as a great-granddad, to be worthy of that calling, to the best of our ability, of course, which is a reminder that the first one is this. We need to remind ourselves this is a great high calling we've been given. However, we will never be perfect. It's an awesome responsibility, as I've just outlined, but we need to understand we will never be perfect at it. We must remember it's a great responsibility, but the enemy loves to come in when we do make mistakes, when we do blow it, when we do fail, and he loves to whisper condemnation. Oh, you're a helpless dad. Your children will never turn out well. Or your grandchildren are never going to amount to anything, and it's all your fault. The enemy loves to whisper those things in our ears. So, Dad, listen to me very carefully. Granddads, too. Never on this earth has there ever been a perfect father, nor will there ever be. There is only one perfect father, and he sits on the throne of heaven. Amen? Well, you say amen, but here's our perfect Heavenly Father, and look how many rebellious children he's got. Right? But that is the truth. We need to understand the enemy loves to come in and taunt us when we make mistakes, thinking that it is all our fault. But we need to understand our children and our grandchildren have a free will. They have a free will. You might read every parenting book. You might visit the Care for the Family website once a day. You might go to every parenting seminar that is available to you. But there are no guarantees. Our children, our grandchildren, they have free will. Of course we can pray. But ultimately, sometimes because of that free will, our offspring, they make bad choices. But the enemy loves to come in and taunt us. And we say to ourselves, where did I go wrong? That often leads to false guilt. And the enemy loves to play on false guilt. Feelings of inferiority or inadequacy, they are Satan's greatest tools, and he loves to utilize them. But as Richard Dobbins says, the average child can withstand the average mistakes of the average parent. And if you're glad about that, say amen. But it does lead me to the second point. We will not be perfect, but we do have great spiritual responsibility under the calling God has given us. In order to step up to the plate, which we need to do, we need to understand we have a spiritual responsibility as Christians' dads. This is an area we don't want to fall short in, but to the best of our ability, we need to fulfill. Moses put it this way in Deuteronomy 4:9. He said, but watch out, be very careful. Never forget what you have seen the Lord do for you. Do not let these things escape your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. That's a great word for all dads and granddads this morning. As we see the Lord move, and he has done in all of our lives, then it is inherent upon us to pass that truth on to our children and our grandchildren. That's part of our spiritual responsibility. It's one we are called to fulfill. Ephesians 5, by implication, reminds us, men, that we are to be these three things in our home and amongst our family. We are called to be kings and priests and prophets. What does that mean? Well, it means this. As a king, we have responsibility for leading our family. We don't rule over them with an iron rod. It does not mean that. But we have a responsibility to bring peace and to bring stability to our families by seeking the Lord's anointing, to bring encouragement and to bring confidence, to offer shelter to our family from the storms of life. That's what a king, a good king, should do in his kingdom. And we should be doing the same in our homes and amongst our families. Secondly, as a priest, we should be the number one intercessor for our families. We should be teaching our grandchildren, our children about the Lord and about his ways. We shepherd them unconditionally, as a priest should, with love all throughout their lives, whatever their age, whether they're 9 or whether they're 49. And we offer, as a priest, spiritual advice and counsel whenever our children ask. And thirdly, though, as prophets as well. We are called as fathers, as grandfathers, to be prophets in our family. Speak about the Lord's will for our family. Be able to be there to offer biblical encouragement and insight and impart to our children and to our grandchildren as a prophet would. Those are the implications of Ephesians 5 for us in fulfilling the calling that God has placed upon all of us as men. Stepping up to the plate would be the American term. Stepping out to the crease would be the English term, I guess. But that's what we are called to do. We're to do it with purpose. We're to do it with passion. We are to do it with boldness, as best we're able in the circumstances as they are. Look at this acrostic. It's a great reminder of a father. Faithful attitude that encourages, that helps encourage righteousness. It's a great acrostic. Under that heading, calling. That's what we are called to be. We'll never be perfect. We will make mistakes. We need to remember our children, though, have a free will. Let's not let the enemy come in and whisper his lies of condemnation to us. But we need to remember we have a spiritual responsibility, and we need to stand firm on that. Which brings me to the second C, and that is courage. courage. Being a dad takes courage. Being a granddad takes courage, especially in our day and in our generation. Being a father or a grandfather is not for the faint-hearted. There are pressures and decisions that we have to make that previous generations would have never experienced. So it takes courage. What do I mean? Well, look at it this way. I mean, if you're a dad to a daughter or a granddaughter, then I'm sure you can identify with these sayings. Daughters are like flowers. They fill the world with beauty and they sometimes attract pests, right? And watching your daughter being collected by her date feels like handing over $1 million Stradivarius to a gorilla. Any dads or daughters identify with that? Thanks, Steve. You know what that's like. But seriously, of course there are pressures upon our children and our grandchildren, immense pressures from the culture in which we live, pressures that most of us here did not face. And you'll know, of course, the sorts of things if you only have children or grandchildren that are younger or you watch TV. They face immense pressures from our culture and from their peers or from their teachers or from their employers. The mantra, therefore, that needs to be on all our lips as we seek to be courageous in fulfilling our calling are the words of Paul to the church in Rome. For this is what he said in Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. By changing the way you think, then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing his perfect will really is. It takes courage to step up and to do that. But that should be something we are continually encouraging our children, whatever age they are, and our grandchildren to do. Discipline, too, of course, takes courage. Again, particularly if you've got younger children, you know what I'm talking about. But as they get older as well, we speak in, as we're able to, speak into their lives. Rob Parsons says this, good word for younger dads. He said, discipline doesn't break a child's spirit half as often as the lack of it breaks a parent's heart. And this anonymous quote I like too. A man's garden and his children both reflect the amount of weeding done during the growing season. But it's not all about courage in the sense of discipline or courage in the sense of guarding our children from the behavior of the world. There's two other courageous things that we as dads and we as granddads and great-granddads need to do, and here they are. Number one, the courage to forgive. Joan and I, in our ministry of counseling as part of Family Fullness Ministries, our itinerant work, sadly face so often the reality of unforgiveness in family situations. Unforgiveness between parents and children, between husband and wife, between brothers and sisters and extended family members. Something was said, an action was taken, hurt happens, an offense, and boom. Bitterness creeps in. Rejection is there. Hardness of heart develops. And then a huge chasm begins to build in a situation. Sometimes it takes courage. It takes us being bold enough to say, no, we need to really forgive and to see forgiveness moving in this situation. Jesus was so clear, so direct when he said this in Matthew 6:14. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Strong words, but true words. So dads, granddads, are we modeling forgiveness to our children and to our grandchildren? Are we living out the example of that father in the story, the parable of the prodigal son in Luke? Are we doing that? It's a tremendous parable, and again, we won't go into any detail. You'll know it well, I'm sure. But it talks about not only such an illustration of a loving father, like our Heavenly Father, but it's a clarion call to us today as well, to be those who have the courage to be forgiving and to see forgiveness, encouraging it in our difficult situations. It's a part of our responsibility of dads to ask forgiveness and to seek forgiveness. It's a big topic. I'll talk more about this, of course, next week when we move back to the Lord's Prayer, and we'll deal with the subject of forgiveness in more, a little more detail. But let me stress what the proverb says. The godly walk in integrity. Blessed are their children after them. It's a difficult situation because offences happen and pain comes. But the courage sometimes is what's necessary. But not only the courage to forgive, the courage, secondly, to restore. To restore. Restoration is such a part of the focus of this parable of the prodigal son. It's really the focus of the father once the son comes home, is that restoration. Restoration is so heavy upon the father's heart, of course. We need to be emulating that and always working towards restoration in our family situations and well. In our communities, in our culture these days, there is far too little restoration. And it reflects in our divorce rate and in our crime statistics, obviously. So therefore, the church and Christians, Christian parents and grandparents must lead the way. Be an example of great restoration taking place in our families, in our homes, in our churches. Yes, it takes courage, but we need to be those with the courage to see it through. It's never too late to begin to build a relationship or to try and restore what has been lost. Even if it is continually refuted, we need to continually reach out and try and see restoration come. It might mean swallowing a little pride, but it's so worth the price. Amen. And my final C is commitment. Commitment. Yes, fatherhood is a calling. It's a high calling. Comes with great responsibilities. Yes, too, we need to understand, boy, does it take courage sometimes. But out of those, the thing that we need to be is committed. See commitment. Three areas in which I believe we should express commitment to our children and to our grandchildren. Firstly, of course, you've heard it before, but the commitment of time. Gary Smalley said this, if our children see us neglect other things to spend time with them, they realize how important they are to us. We need to communicate that we are available to our children, both during the scheduled and the unscheduled times. And what is true for children is, of course, true for grandchildren as we are able as well. Time and time again, it has been proved, children need both quality and quantity time. Sometimes, again, in our ministry, people have said, well, I'm not able to give much quantity, but when I do, it's quality. Our children really need both. There's no getting around it. We need to spend time with our children because to our children and our grandchildren, time equates love. Childhood's door closes very quickly. We need to make the most of the time that we have. You know how it is with our children. This probably happened to you, or with your grandchildren, it might be happening now. You know, when they're small, isn't it lovely when you go down to the metro center and that little hand slips in your hand and you're walking through the metro center and everything seems to be wonderful. They're so pleased to be with you. They're holding your hand. Look at this, Grandpa. Look at that. You know, it's just that sense of excitement. But boom, suddenly that childhood's door closed. And the next time they go with you to the metro center, they want you to be wearing a paper sack over your head. You know how that is. No dad ever said on his deathbed, oh, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. It is a lie to say that a slower day is coming. A slower day never comes. So are we committed to time? Secondly, are we committed to love and affection? You'll say, oh, Neil, of course I am. My children, my grandchildren, they know that I love them. But my response to that would be, are you sure? Do you show them? Do you tell them? do you express it to them? We must make sure that we show and tell with a hug or a kiss or an arm or a shoulder or a ruffle of the hair. Far too many children grown up that we have ministered to have never had expressions of true, wonderful love expressed to them physically. And they're never too old for that. Even if they think they are, they're never too old for it. Nothing is better than a big hug we receive back from a child or from a grandchild. So we must ensure that we return it. But thirdly, of course, the commitment to prayer. To prayer. Bruce Buckle or Bickle. The simple exercise of praying together regularly as a family will do more to strengthen your family than anything else you could do together. It's an incredible truth. We must always be praying for our children. Before conception, when they're in the womb, during the school days, especially during the school days and college days, praying for their future. Praying for their future husband or wife, praying for their marriages, praying for their careers, praying for their children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. We need to be praying for protection in mind and in body and in spirit. We need to be committed to prayer and never stop. Never stop praying for our children, for our grandchildren, for our great-grandchildren. If you're praying for a prodigal right now, let me say this to you. Never give up. Never give up. Prodigals do come home. Press in, hold on, stand firm, pray, pray, pray. It is not only a great responsibility, but it is a privilege to pray for our children and our grandchildren as well. On the table there at the back, we've got, and some of you I know have picked this up already, but our prayer guide as you pray for your children and for your grandchildren. Please use that. It's great scriptures to pray over your children and your grandchildren every day. And on the back of that list, it's a parents and grandparents daily list. All of these things, scripture-based things to be doing for and with your children and your grandchildren as you are able to be with them. So please pick that up on your way out. Dads, granddads, great-granddads, whether you see your grandchildren and children and great-grandchildren every day, whether you see them once a week, whether you see them once a month, whether you see them once a year, or whether you see them once in a blue moon, please remember the three C's. That is that fatherhood is a calling. It is a calling you've been given. What a great honor. It is. You can do it. We can do it with the Lord's help. He's there cheering you on. He's available to you for strength, for guidance, for leading, for peace, and for anointing as you seek to fulfill that calling. Secondly, be of good courage. Fatherhood is not for cowards, but be bold and be brave, dads. Have a heart for forgiveness. Have a heart for restoration. And finally, stay committed. Please stay committed. So important. As somebody once said, we are to be nice to our children because they choose our nursing home, right? So give yourself fully. Love unconditionally. Love passionately. Love with a great sense of wonder and of awe. You can do it. You can do it. It is a calling. It takes courage. It takes commitment. But dads, keep up the good work. Don't let the enemy come in and whisper lies to you. Keep up the good work. Do it to the best of your ability. Keep on going. Pray, pray. And that's what Joan will do for us all now.